We are I. This past weekend, I went up to the Okanagan Valley. My family, well, some of my family, to see my family, and again, some of my family that I hold very close to me because the type of people that they are and what they do for all of us and the guidance that I get, you know, like my uncle puts a lot of things in perspective for me, and so does my aunt, but you know, like my uncle kind of really helps solidify my position in life, the way that I think and how I think and who I want to be as a man. Now, when we went up there, our sole goal was to do some fishing, but it's really to be able to sit around and converse with each other and, you know, eat good food. My uncle got a 5-pound brisket, threw it on the smoker and smoked it, finished it off in the oven. It tasted absolutely fantastic. Great meal. There was other stuff, but who cares mentioning it? It's not meat, so it's not worth the breath coming out of my mouth. But I realized, standing on the banks of the Shuswap River, an iconic river, a beautiful river, a river that people float down all summer long, that people fish in, you know, whether it be the local Indian band or anybody else. You know, there's salmon in there, there's whitefish, there's countless other kinds of fish. You know, but just to be able to unwind and let it all go. And I realized this as I was standing there and you know, I'm looking at some of the members of my family. And I'm like, I hope that this brings as much peace to them as it does to me. Just to be able to simply cast a line out into the water and just watch that fishing line get pulled down. You start reeling it in, going against the current, and just the hope and how thrilling it would be to be able to get a fish on the end of that line. You know, we only go out for, you know, maybe 45 minutes to an hour. You flip rocks to be able to find rock flies, to be able to use as bait. You know, it's just a great time, visually. And when things are visually appealing to me, I realize that how much it feeds your heart and your soul. You know, like the company was great. Building memories with my family is amazing. Everybody's just calm and relaxed. You know, letting that river carry all your woes and your worries downstream. Like, how can it not? Seeing eagles fly by, you know, about 5 feet off the water. On Sunday morning when we were standing on this little rock bar, I was like, hey guys, look, there's a beaver right there. And they're like, where? It was about 50, 60 feet away from us, just sitting there chilling, swimming in the water. And then it hops back in the water, starts swimming towards us, about halfway, pops its head up, looks at us. Gets back under the water, and you can see it swimming because it's in a little bit of a back eddy, so the water is nice and calm and nice and clear. And then it literally comes up probably within about 5 feet of us, pops its head up, looks around, scopes us out, and then just continues on upriver. So I look at my oldest daughter and everybody else who is with us, and I say, you know what? You know, you can't see that sitting there watching TV. But the worst part is you can see that, but you don't get to experience it. How cool that is in real life to be able to see a beaver for your first time. You know, because a couple of the people that I was with, it was their first time seeing a beaver in real life. But then you get to see this thing majestically, how easy it can swim upriver, how it just glides through the water. And how you don't have to be fearful of it. It was just curious. Just being like, hey, what are those things over there? I'm just going to go check it out. You don't have to be scared. There was nothing about the situation that was scary. And that's what I love about those moments. And I thought to myself, and then I said to everybody, I'm like, you know, even if we don't catch any fish this fishing trip, that one moment right there was worth the entire drive, all the time and effort that we spent, you know, getting to where we were at and fishing and setting up the fishing rods and looking for bait, all that kind of stuff. Like that one moment was worth everything to be able to share that with the four people that I was with. To be able to look out there and just see nature being its majestic self. And how few people get to experience that one moment that you just happen to be in the right place at the right time. But if you go out into nature enough, if you interact with the world around you enough, how amazing it can be. And that's that moment. So then we get back to, you know, our hometown. And I'm driving down the road and, you know, I say to them, it's, you know, it's nice to be home. You know, we're only, I don't know, 2 minutes away from home, driving down a pretty busy main corridor. And I looked around and I immediately felt and understood that this is just not me. That I look like there's nothing that feeds your soul. You look around and visually when you're driving down the road like that, there's nothing that feeds your soul. Nothing. Zero. Nada. Like, what do you do with that? And I know I'm not the only person who feels that. Whether people understand it or not, I think innately everybody is like that. Because some people are so far away from that connection of what Mother Nature can offer you is this gift of calming and relaxing your heart and your soul, giving back to you in ways that you never thought and never could imagine. This is what it offers. And I see this in everybody who goes in the backcountry, and especially people who've never really spent time in nature, understand very quickly the benefit of being there. But then when you have this contrast, when you come back in, it's like, how does this asphalt, how does this concrete, how does this maze of endless condos and townhomes and single family homes and like the destruction of this forest and excavators everywhere and site clearing, like how does this feed your soul? It doesn't. Literally doesn't. Which is tough, right? Like, what do you do with that? Find those moments to be able to recharge. How many times have you heard that? Like, oh, I just need to be able to recharge. The problem is most people do that sitting on the couch or sitting around drinking and binge watching Netflix. You're not actually really recharging your soul. You're just not doing what is robbing you of your soul every day. But like actually recharging your soul. And I don't believe this to be just me, but actually recharging your soul is standing on the bank of a river in a place like beautiful British Columbia with your family, with a couple of fishing rods, and seeing a beaver swim up to you to, you know, proverbially shake hands. So the question of the day is, do you understand, and I know I've asked this lots, but do you truly understand what and why feeds your soul?